You know, in his homily last night and this morning, Father Paul talked about how excited he was to preach on that first reading from the Old Testament, because it said it's the only place that he knows in the Bible where someone is instructed to take a nap and then get up and have a snack. But I wanted to say that sometimes I feel like I'm the angel telling him, get up. It is pretty powerful, though, because the prophet Elijah there, after he's had his nap and his snack twice, strengthened by that food from heaven, he then walks 40 days and 40 nights, which is pretty impressive. So we'll see if after a good nap, Father Paul can do that. And even the responsorial psalm saying, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste, right? That's pretty exciting. Taste the goodness of the Lord. In the gospel, Jesus says that if we eat the living bread, his flesh for the life of the world, then not only will we have the strength of Elijah, and not only will we taste the actual goodness of the Lord, Jesus says we'll live forever. And that's transformative bread. In the Mass, the church teaches that we need to prepare ourselves to receive worthily this kind of bread. And the first and the best preparation is the Our Father that the church gives us at the beginning of that communion rite. In his book, Jesus of Nazareth, Pope Benedict XVI wrote that by teaching us the Our Father, Jesus involves us in his own prayer. It's pretty beautiful. We get drawn into the very prayer of Jesus as he prays. At Mass, the Our Father introduces that rite of communion, which is the high point and the goal of the whole liturgy. The Lord's Prayer is the best way to prepare us for communion with the Lord and with one another. So let's look at just a few of those petitions for the Our Father to see how they prepare us to receive Holy Communion. Thy kingdom come. Holy Communion is a foretaste of the heavenly feast in the Lord's kingdom. So this petition gets us ready for that foretaste and makes us long for its fulfillment in heaven. Thy will be done. Holy Communion implies that we're striving for union with God. And that petition, Thy will be done, reminds us that union with God means letting his will become sovereign in our lives today, not tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. I find this very powerful, that the Greek word there behind daily is unique. It seems that Jesus coined it specifically for the Our Father. So we kind of struggle to know exactly what it means. Daily seems to be kind of a partial translation. The Latin translation behind that Greek term there is supersubstantialem panem, literally our supersubstantial or supernatural bread. It's a reference to a special kind of bread, the only kind of bread that can fully satisfy us. We could paraphrase it, give us this day that mysterious bread, which alone satisfies us each day, one day at a time. Give us this day our supernatural bread. Give us this day the Holy Eucharist. Before we approach that supernatural bread, the Our Father helps us to examine our conscience, to receive the Lord worthily. So forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Both receiving and giving forgiveness are important as we share in the body and the blood of the Lord. The Our Father reminds us to long for communion with God and then to live out our communion with the other members of the body of Christ. That kind of task certainly calls for supernatural strength. We end the Our Father with the words, deliver us from evil. And then the prayer that the priest prays right after that continues that, deliver us from every evil and grant peace. Peace is a key part of our preparation for communion. All of you respond to that prayer with, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. If you ever pray the Our Father with our Protestant brothers and sisters, they usually tack that acclamation on to the end of the Our Father, which is fine, which is beautiful, but it's not actually part of the Our Father, right? It seems to be drawn, at least in part, from 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. And we're called in that response to surrender ourselves to His power, because He's the only one who really knows how to use it rightly. Give me that kind of power, and it could be dangerous. Then the priest offers what's called the peace prayer. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of the church, of your church, Lord, and grant her peace and unity. Before communion, we beg the Lord to consider our faith, not our sins, and to grant us peace and unity. And peace is more than the absence of war, right? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings us to be right with God. And that's why we share the sign of peace with one another. But it's a peace that comes from the altar and not from us. It comes from the sacrifice of Christ. The peace that we share is more than just social, beautiful as that is. This is something a little bit different, a little bit more. This peace comes from the cross, flowing from Christ's death and resurrection. It's the peace that makes us whole. It begins with the priest saying from the altar, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." It's important that he says it from the altar, from the place where we just represented the dying and rising of Christ, because this is a reconciliation peace. This is a God peace. Communion needs preparation. It needs humility, repentance. It needs faith. But most of all, it needs the peace that comes from God alone. So here's the homework for the week. When you leave Mass today, take this peace with you. And remember, throughout this week, it's the peace that comes to us from God. He's planted it in your hearts. And when you receive Holy Communion, He's made it firmer, stronger. Hopefully that gives us something to smile about all week long.